Today is Monday, May 7th, and I hereby welcome you to the Monday Morning Esports Talk. I am DT and I am the host of the show. Thank you very much for joining me. Today, we will talk about the crazy things that happened during CSGO's stint down under during IEM Sydney. More importantly, what happened during the grand final between FaZe Clan and Astralis, and what we can take away from the grand finals. Three maps, 108 rounds. That's one stat that shows how crazily competitive this 3-0 sweep was when looking deeper under the hood. We saw huge nail biters on every map of this series, in great contrast to their series just from 2 weeks ago in Marseille. What were the differences this time around that brought us a very different outcome? Why were FaZe finally able to break their grand final curse? And what does this series tell us about both teams going further down the road? Let's dig a little deeper. First of all, I think it is crazy how on FaZe are when they are on and how off they are when they are off. To go from losing to Renegades and going the distance against Greyhound to sweeping Astralis in the grand final is ludicrous. It makes sense for your play to be dependent on your star players hitting shots when you have players of the caliber that FaZe has them, but when it doesn't work, you can look pretty bad. Janko said during the FaZe Tyloo series that the winner of that series would get stomped by Astralis or Maus in the final, and it made sense for him to say that because FaZe was looking lackluster throughout the whole tournament up to that point. I think it is also telling that after watching this series in the grand final, when you think about important rounds that were won by FaZe, you rather think about a Nico or a Guardian clutch than a round that has been won by having the superior strategy. When rounds were won by excellent decision-making, they were mostly won by Astralis. But sort of that doesn't seem to matter when we talk about this best of five, because FaZe was able to win with that style of play. One reason for that was the huge mismatch between Guardian and Device this series. The Slovakian AWPer is playing very well for months now, and this time it was no different. Over the course of the series, he got 15 AWP kills on Device, while Device only got 5 kills in return, which shows you which way this duel went of all the maps played, especially on Cage. This discrepancy was substantiated. But not only that, Guardian was also constantly able to pick out important kills in important rounds, which opened or secured bomb sites and helped FaZe lock down rounds that wouldn't have been able to otherwise. Before I talk about possible implications in the future, I want to mention Astralis' Tower of Strength throughout the whole series. Magisboy, who just joined Astralis 3 months ago, was Mr. Reliable during the whole tournament, and he showed that once more in the finals. Maybe he slacked a bit on train, if you want to call that a slack, but other than that, he was the guy who made many things happen. Kiabi's departure could really be a blessing in disguise for the Astralis roster, especially considering where North are at right now. The development also confirms Astralis in their decision to sign Magisboy in the first place, as they had a few different options to go down and they got criticized for their choice to go with a 20-year-old. But surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, they knew exactly what they were doing. Now on to a few general implications. First off, I think it is really telling to hear Kerrigan say, "When people don't expect us to win, we win." FaZe lost many grand finals in the last 6 months, and in all of them, they were the odds-on favorites. Now, once they are the underdog and nobody expects them to show up, they do show up. Even if Kerrigan said what he said jokingly, I think this fact shows that the players have to work on their mental fortitude. Nico is known to be a bit of a loose cannon when it comes to tilting, and I think so is Kerrigan. Astralis had similar mental problems, which is why they hired a sports psychologist, and it worked wonders for them. In my opinion, it is time for FaZe to consult someone similar in order to deal better with the pressure of having to perform, which is clearly what seems to be their biggest problem. And they are definitely not the first team to have these problems. I think the blueprint for dealing with these problems somewhat is out there already, which is why FaZe should be able to do something about it if they are willing to. And if they even recognize this as really one of their biggest problems in the first place. I think when talking about these two teams, who arguably are two of the best teams in the world right now, if not the two best teams in the world right now, it is interesting to compare their approaches to the game and how contrasting they are. On the one hand, Astralis is turning CSGO into a very cerebral game by noticeably incorporating a lot of preparation when it comes to their playbook. No team is as prolific with their use of nades and timings as the Danes are. On the other hand, FaZe sometimes shows us tactical excellence, like in the 28th round of Overpass or the last round of Cage, but mostly they rely on glimpses of individual brilliance, like the Nico 1v3 or the Exist 1v2 both on Overpass, or the Guardian 1v3 on Train to win their first T round after losing 10 straight. Mostly the best thing FaZe does from a tactical point are flanks, which they do well consistently. Both, of course, have their strengths and weaknesses. I already alluded to some earlier, but in my opinion, this leads to FaZe's bottom being way lower than Astralis. This is also why I think that Astralis wins this series 7 out of 10 times. The beginning of their CT side on Train showed exactly how Astralis can draw up their playmaking, and they went 10-0. When FaZe plays at their best, we still have many competitive rounds being decided by individual performances. And lastly, I think that even when talking about individual masterclass and the reliance on that, it is more important than ever for your star players to be unpredictable. Which brings me to the fact that Nico had problems being that throughout the whole series. He sort of made Overpass his playground despite this, but especially on Cage, he struggled because Astralis was able to negate his impact by either simply ignoring him or playing on his tendencies and eliminating him early. This throws up the question if Nico needs to look to reinvent himself in some capacity. We kind of have this discussion right now with the in-game leader role change in SK, where arguably one of the best in-game leaders in history in Fallen doesn't feel like he can have the same impact that he once had because of his opponents and the fact that his opponents are reading him far too frequently. I think this is what happens to Nico in these big matches in Grand Finals more often than not, and to have a consistent place in the ranks of the best players in the world, one simply cannot be that easy to predict. Interestingly enough, Nico has played a lot more AWP this series than I'm used to see him play, and maybe this is one of the ways he and FaZe as a team are trying to combat this, so we will see how this may develop in the future. And with that, we arrived at the end of this episode. You know the drill by now. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other remarks, please let me know on social media. As always, all the important links are in the show notes of this episode. Thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you guys next week. See ya!